You may be homely in your neighborhood.
Be an actor, see Mr. Factor, you make your kisser look good.
Go out and try your luck, you may be Donald Duck. Hooray for Hollywood.
Hooray for Hollywood.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the inaugural edition of Out of My Element on RMU Radio. I thought this would be a good chance to sit down, talk about the thing I love more than anything in the world, movies. So I created this show where it's me sitting in a room talking to myself for 30 minutes. Hopefully people out there are, in fact, listening. Sorry for the cheesy intro. I had to go with Hooray for Hollywood because that just seemed like the, you know, classic stereotypical song you should use in an instant like this. So I'm going to explain really quick how this show is going to be working over the, you know, next few weeks, hopefully into the next few years if it's good enough. What I'm going to do is I'm going to highlight two movies every show. I have a 30-minute show. I'll spend roughly the first 15 minutes talking about one movie and the second talking about another. And I'm going to focus on an older movie, a classic movie you might have never seen, you may have never heard of. And then the second movie is going to be a new release, one that just came out, one that, you know, is in theaters or just came out on DVD, something current that you might be interested in seeing as well. So today's show, we have The Big Lebowski. That's our old classic you may not have seen. I'll talk about that one first. And then second, the very steamy 50 Shades of Grey. I will be talking about that one as well. New release, whether you should go see it or not. So we'll get into that more the second half of the show. The reason I'm starting with The Big Lebowski is it's one of my favorite movies, but it's also a movie that I have started all of my movie reviewing with. It's the movie that started my love of critiquing movies. When I first came to RMU as a freshman, I decided I was going to start a column to review movies, and I wanted to, you know, kind of do what I'm doing in the show, highlighting old movies you may not have seen that I think people would really enjoy. So I picked The Big Lebowski as my first movie, and I couldn't think of a title to name my column. And my roommate Matt said, why don't you name it Out of My Element? Because in a lot of ways, I felt like I was out of my element writing. I wasn't much of a writer before getting to college. So I named it Out of My Element, and it's a play on, you know, from the movie, you know, them always telling Donnie, the dude always telling Donnie, Walter always telling Donnie that he's out of his element. So I did that, and I thought it would be special and important to start off this year with, I'm being distracted by outside. This is a show I do alone. This is my own show. No, you can't come on. I'm being distracted from the outside. I have to do this for something, so you gotta go. Yeah, so, yeah. All right, now we're on the same page. All right, so sorry about that. I just got distracted. But, yeah, this show, it's all about movies. And I'm gonna start with my first movie. We'll start reviewing the first movie on air. The Big Lebowski. It's somewhat of a popular movie now. It's a cult classic in a way. It came out in 1998, so it's not too old in relation to some of the other movies I'll be talking about on the show. But it stars Jeff Bridges as the dude, John Goodman as Walter Sobchak, Julianne Moore as Maude Lebowski. There's a whole bunch of celebrities in here. There's also Steve Buscemi, David Huddleston, Philip Seymour Hoffman, Tara Reid. You know, a lot of really great actors playing some of the most memorable characters in movie history. So, you know, a lot of what The Big Lebowski is about is it's really an entire movie based off of the idea that the dude, this Jeffrey Lebowski, someone pees on his rug, and it's like a 2.5 hour movie about, you know, how he remedies this problem of someone peeing on his rug. I have the trailer. Let's take a listen to the trailer real quick so you guys can get an idea of what this movie is somewhat about.
Let me explain something to you. I am not Mr. Lebowski. I'm the dude. You know, that or... employed.
Do you like sex, Mr. Lebowski?
Is this your only ID?
You got the wrong guy. I'm the dude.
Your name's Lebowski, Lebowski.
Jeff Lebowski, the other Lebowski, the millionaire.
I received this ransom note this morning.
This is a bummer, man.
They want you to take the money and act as courier.
What do you mean, man?
My dirty undies, dude. The wife.
Let's take that hill!
Why should we settle for 20 grand when we can keep the entire million?
I know you're mixed up in all this.
Playing one side against the other in bed with everybody.
Blow them.
Huh? Fabulous stuff.
What?
Who's sitting on $1 million?
We want some money.
Ah! Sitting in the trunk of our car.
Where's my damn money?
Say, dude, where is your car?
Who's got your undies, Walter?
This is a very complicated case, Maude. You know, a lot of ins, a lot of outs.
Is this your homework, Larry?
And I would like my undies back.
A lot of strands to keep in my head, man.
Bro! Hey, careful, man. There's a beverage here, huh?
I like your style, dude.
I have no choice but to tell these bums to do whatever is necessary to recover their money from you.
They were Nazis, dude?
They were nihilists, man. They kept saying they believed in nothing.
Better run to the jungle. Better run to the jungle.
You figured, oh, here's a loser, you know? Deadbeat.
Well, aren't you?
Well, yeah.
You cannot drag this negative energy into the tournament.
Jeffrey.
Bond.
Love me.
That's my robe.
I'm throwing rocks tonight.
It don't matter to Jesus. This could be a lot more complex. I mean, it might not be such a simple, you know?
So there you have the basic idea. That's the trailer. I know you can't see anything, but sometimes hearing is just as good. So, you know, The Big Lebowski, like I said, is basically this entire movie surrounding the idea of, you know, the dude's rug gets peed on, and he goes on this, you know, crazy adventure with so many ins and outs on how he gets his rug problem fixed. The movie was written and directed by the genius Coen brothers, Joel and Ethan Coen. They've made some fantastic movies in the past, some Oscar-winning pictures, you know, and those two are so talented. They've made Fargo and you know, No Country for Old Men was theirs, and this picture is so unlike some of the other stuff they do. But in the same way, you can really get a sense that this is the Coen brothers. The dialogue is just brilliant, and it's just a fun 2.5 hours to watch. And I'd say that this movie is still their best picture. And like I said, they've got some great ones: Fargo, No Country for Old Men, True Grit. But The Big Lebowski has something just really special about it. You know, The Big Lebowski is this huge figure in the movie, and he is played by David Huddleston. And the whole idea is David Huddleston's The Big Lebowski. He has a young, pretty wife, Tara Reid, and she owes money all around town. So Jeffrey Lebowski, the dude, needs to go, and he talks to him. He tries to solve the problem of his rug getting peed on, and the adventure just goes all sorts of crazy ways from there. And the dude is this guy who likes to just spend all day smoking pot and drinking White Russians and bowling, and he's the most lazy, you know, as they say in the movie, the most lazy man in Los Angeles County, which puts him on the list for most lazy man throughout the entire world. And he's accompanied by John Goodman's character, Walter Sobchak, and it is just a great dynamic between those two. And most of the movie does follow them, but there's also some parts where they're like third wheel in some sense is Steve Buscemi's Donnie character, which is another great character in this movie. And there's just amazingly creative and smart dialogue, and the story takes so many weird twists and turns. You know, at one point you'll find the dude in almost like a porno-esque, you know, dance number that has absolutely nothing to do with the plot, but you watch it and you say it's amazing. It's somewhat of a famous scene. It's called the gutter balls scene if you've never seen it. But just a great movie, and the rest of the story, you know, beyond some of the crazy offshoots it takes, is actually very symmetrical if you look at it. And I was surprised. I was in a script writing class last semester, I think it was, and I said The Big Lebowski has no plot. It's a movie with no plot. And my teacher said, you're wrong. It has so many plots. And it got me thinking about it, and that is absolutely true in a way. You know, there's so many offshoots, and that is what I think makes The Big Lebowski such a great movie. And another thing about The Big Lebowski I like, one of my favorite critics and a real inspiration to me is obviously Roger Ebert. And I take Roger Ebert's word for most things. I think he had a great sense. And he gave The Big Lebowski his highest rating he can give, 4 stars. And just, I love reading through Roger Ebert's Big Lebowski review, because there are so many instances of him saying incredibly smart things, which sounds cliche, but so many smart things about the movie you don't realize. So my advice for this movie is to go in it and watch it a few different times. You know, you need to go in it and watch it once, and you will not get everything. You will miss plot points, you will miss part of the story, you will miss part of the amazing dialogue. And you know, I've seen this movie countless times. I couldn't even give you a guess as to how many times I have seen this movie, and every time I watch it, there is one more thing that surprises me or makes me laugh or I catch that I didn't notice before. And I maintain that The Big Lebowski has one of the funniest lines of any movie. The line it's in the first 5 minutes of the movie, when one of the men, like, ransacking the dude's house, picks up a bowling ball and says, "What is this?" And the dude looks at him and says, "Obviously you are not a golfer." And obviously I did not give that scene justice, but just a hilarious scene. And there's so much brilliance in the way this is written. And the movie is such a cult classic. If you haven't seen it, you got to watch it at least once. I know it's probably not for everyone, but if you watch it and you're either going to love it or you're not going to love it, but I really think more people love it than not. It's inspired so many other movies. It's inspired an annual festival called Lebowski Fest, where just tons of people get dressed up like characters from the movie and go out and have a good time. And I think the impact this movie has had, not only on film history and and it's been around for a relatively short period, but the impact it's already had is so incredible that you cannot pass up this movie. This is a must-see for all people to see. So I implore you to go out you know, it's been around. You can find it at the library, and you know, you can rent it online. It's pretty much everywhere. Give it a shot. Absolutely worth it. Now, if you want to read what I basically just said, you can go into rmucenturymedia.com and check out my column under the arts and entertainment section called Out of My Element, same name as the show, and this was the first article I ever read. So you can read through there, see there's some points I left out while talking here, and you can kind of see more of what I mean. I also put a link to that on my Twitter, which is at Eddie_Sheehy, another underscore, if you wish to follow me. So we're going to take a quick break right now. But when I come back, I will be talking about the very controversial film, 50 Shades of Grey. You are absolutely not going to want to miss it. So stick around for more Out of My Element on RMU Century Media.
Unexpected reactions to smart financial decisions brought to you by FeedThePig.org.
Well, I finally did it. I opened a 401k.
So you're giving up, just like that.
Giving up on what?
On getting an inheritance from a distant relative.
Don't you think if there were a billionaire in the family, we'd know about it by now?
Listen to me, we are one phone call away from riding horses on our own private polo grounds. One call from christening yachts, having a butler, using summer as a verb.
How do you figure?
Look, everyone's got a rich uncle somewhere. It's statistics. So the best thing you can do is just prepare for the inevitable.
Right, which is why I thought maybe it would be smart to take control of my finances. You know, start using a budget, get out of debt, set some retirement goals.
Budgets? Debt? You watch your mouth. Retirement shouldn't be a goal for us. It should be a way of life.
When it comes to financial stability, don't get left behind. Get tools and tips for saving at feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Hey, Nick Cannon here. So, of course, we all know there's lots of talent in America. But unfortunately, there's something else we've got way too much of. Childhood hunger. 17 million kids struggle with it in this country. But here's the thing. This problem is entirely solvable. Seriously, we already produce more than enough healthy, nutritious food in this country to feed every single last one of those hungry kids. We just need a way to get it to them. That's why the Feeding America Nationwide Network of Food Banks is out there every day gathering surplus food to give hope to hungry kids and their families all across the country. But they need your help. Join me in supporting Feeding America and your local food bank at feedingamerica.org. Together we can solve hunger. Together we're Feeding America.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
And welcome back to Out of My Element on RMU Radio. Right now, we are going to be talking about the incredibly popular movie, still pretty dominant at the box office right now, no pun intended, 50 Shades of Grey. Let's talk about this. This movie is one that I have been, again, no pun intended, very passionate about as of late. This is really the one movie that I've been asked the most about, and I've spent the most time talking about. And I haven't been talking about it in a good way, so let me put that up front right now. I don't know what anybody would expect from me when they ask, you know, did you see 50 Shades of Grey? Yes. Did you like it? I don't know why anybody would expect me to say yes to that. I absolutely did not like this movie at all. So 50 Shades of Grey, it is directed by Samantha Taylor Johnson is what I know her as, but they're always putting her as Sam Taylor Johnson on all of the media for this movie. I'll talk about that in 1 minute, but it's also starring Dakota Johnson and Jamie Dornan. There's also a few other minor characters in there, but the plot does not develop in a way that you really actually would ever care about those characters or even think about them necessarily. So I want to start off by talking about the problem with me in 50 Shades of Grey is that it is, I didn't read the books, so I cannot say it's nothing like the source material. However, the source material is pretty famous, so I can gather a pretty good idea on what that source material is, and knowing what it should be about and what people have told me and the little bits I've read on the internet of some of its craziest scenes, I can say then, I think, that it is nothing like the source material. It is not risque at all. I don't know why theaters or people in general were having such a problem with this movie, because it absolutely is not sexy. It's not really, you know, dangerous. It's not even risque to watch. You it's awkward to watch. You sit in this theater, and when I went to see it, I went to an early screening, and the theater was packed, and it was a theater filled with women over the age of 50, and the only men in the theater was myself, one other male critic I was sitting next to, and then one man in front of me who I assume was with his wife, because I don't know why else he would necessarily be there, but just filled with women. And when the movie was over, I have never been more afraid in my life. I thought the women in the theater were going to riot. They were yelling, and they like legitimately yelling about how disappointing the movie it was, how it was nothing like the books, and it was a scary place to be. So it's disappointing in that fact. And it's going to be disappointing for anybody who has read the books, I think, in that fact. Like I said, I've never read them, so I'm speculating here. But from what I can gauge from other people, it's incredibly disappointing. From a critic standpoint, from someone who watches a lot more movies than they should probably spend their time, the movie is not even good in a cinematic sense. Everything about the movie is weak. It has an incredibly weak plot. It has incredibly weak character development. It has incredibly weak characters. And, you know, it's not a secret that the main focus of this movie should be the sex. There's no getting around that. The sex is the main focus of this movie. The problem is, you know, I think a lot of Sam Taylor Johnson's problem for this movie was she didn't want that to be the focus. She took 50 Shades of Grey and she tried to make it a love story, and it's just not a love story. And the love story that she develops is the most far-fetched, unrealistic, unattractive relationship that I think, I mean, the cinema has seen in years, if not ever. It is a terrible, terrible series of events to watch unfold in front of you. You have this girl who is named Anastasia Steele, which I know is from the book, but a horrible name, and a terrible name. And you can tell when Dakota Johnson says, "My name is Anastasia Steele," she is like trying not to cry because she knows just how stupid that sounds. And, you know, she's this not super attractive girl who's an English major and is covering for her roommate who's a journalist, you know, interviewing Christian Grey, who's played by Jamie Dornan. And he, for some reason, falls in love with her as she, like, mumbles questions and bites her lip and looks as unattractive as she possibly can. And he, you know, he invites her to his house, and he starts, like, stalking her. And they finally meet up, and he explains everything about what he's into, all the kinky stuff that you want to get into. Because, like I said, the only reason anybody's going to this movie is because they want to see the sex unfold. And it takes forever in the movie to get there, and it's not even interesting to watch. It's awkward, especially, you know, like you're sitting in a theater. Yeah, and theater seats are small, and you're right up against some other human being, and you're touching shoulders with them while you're watching this stuff unfold, and it's not attractive, and it's not interesting, and it's not like you're so enveloped in the story that you forget about everything else happening around you. It's like you spend more time during the sex scenes looking at the people next to you, trying not to, like, touch them, and it's so boring to watch unfold. You're better off, if you want to watch something crazy and risque and kinky, stay home and watch Cinemax, because you will not get it from this movie. It's horrible to sit through, and the story drags on, and they spend 2 hours. The movie can be summed up as 2 hours of this guy trying to get this girl to sign a contract so that she will enter his crazy BDSM world. And this contract is so important, and it's so central, and it's so focused. The whole plot is focused on signing this contract, and she never signs the contract, and they do everything in the contract anyways. They just completely disregard this contract, which is, I don't want to call it a MacGuffin, because I don't believe that this movie is smart enough to have a MacGuffin. It's just this central part of the plot that never actually has anything to do really with the plot, because they just completely ignore it. And spoiler alert, if you haven't seen the movie and you actually really care for some reason, don't listen to the next 2 minutes of my radio show, because I'm about to rant on what is the worst part of the movie, hands down. And I know I've been calling everything in the past the worst parts of the movie. The worst part of the movie, period, is the ending. It has one of the worst endings I have seen in a movie in, oh gosh, I can't even tell you how long. It's so bad. Like I said, they spend this whole movie trying to get them to sign this contract. They don't sign the contract. She says, I want you to show me your crazy world, that your crazy BDSM, hit me hard world. She enters it. She enters it, and it's not even crazy. He hits her a few times, which, you know, I'm not condoning, but he hits her a few times, you know, and of all the things she's looking at in this contract, the hitting doesn't even sound that bad. And she just starts crying and cannot deal with it. And she leaves, and she's like, don't you ever do that to me again. And it's just really awkward. And she leaves. She leaves, she gets onto an elevator, she looks at him, and it's just like, you know, Miss Steele, Mr. Gray, the doors close and the movie is over. So you just spent, what, probably theater tickets are like $12. You just spent $12 to go see this movie. You want to be kind of like, you know, embarrassed a little bit. You want to see something crazy. You have not seen anything crazy by the end of this movie. You did not even get to see a plot develop. You got to see some of the most boring and uninteresting and unattractive characters in movie history. It's just a terrible movie to watch. I implore you not to spend your money. I'm happy to see that the movie financially is decreasing at the percentage it has been decreasing. That does, in fact, make me happy. But, you know, just please don't go see it. That's the thought I want to leave you on with 50 Shades of Grey. I know I was a little ranty there, but this movie is just, I would probably, I'm going to go as far as to say that this is going to be one of the worst movies to come out in 2015, and I know we are only in February, so that's how bad that is. Now, with that, unfortunately, it appears that I'm coming to the end of my first show, the first Out of My Element show. I know I had a little bit of a mix-up there at the beginning. I apologize for that. A few things I want to say before I officially sign off. First off, earlier today, very sad news. Leonard Nimoy passed away. Leonard Nimoy, who, you know, you probably know best from his work on Star Trek, he passed away. So rest in peace to Leonard Nimoy. Also, you know, after that, shameless plug, if you're not doing anything on Wednesdays from 4 to 5, make sure you tune back into RMU Radio, because myself and my friend Matt Merlino host a show called Jukebox Heroes. It's a music show, so if you like music from the 50s, 60s, 70s, or 80s, you'll like that show. Go ahead and tune on into that. This week we're doing all 50s music, so you'll want to listen to that. And most of all, I just want to say thank you to everyone for listening to this show. As I go on, I hope the show will get better. Hopefully I'll get better at talking to myself in this lonely room for 30 minutes. And hopefully I'll have some guests on in the future, so I won't be just talking to myself. So thank you to everyone for listening. I will see you all next week at the same time, 1:30 to 2, where we will spend more time talking about the movies that I loved and hated. See you guys next week.